We'll learn about NVIS in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Larry McGlore, KB9DIP, with this rain report. NVIS, what is it? Quoting from Wikipedia, Near Vertical Incidence Skywave, or NVIS, is a skywave radio wave propagation path that provides usable signals in the range between ground wave and conventional skywave distances, usually 30 to 400 miles. That's 50 to 650 kilometers. So what is the value of NVIS? And how can you experiment with NVIS? Well, Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, caught up with Stan Broadway, N8BHL, the ARRL Ohio Section Emergency Coordinator. Stan has spent more than 40 years in the emergency preparedness field.
It seems as though the ham radio hobby discovered NVIS a few years ago. It's actually been around for a long time. In the older days, these antennas were called cloud burners because they were low to the ground and therefore radiated mostly straight up instead of out. And that's typically a bad thing if you're chasing DX or you're looking to talk around the country or in Canada or Mexico. But if you're in, for instance, Cleveland, Ohio, and you're trying to get a signal just to Columbus, Ohio, where the state EOC is located, you don't want to talk to California. You want something that will bounce a signal very, very short in regards to where you're located. There's probably not a ham club around that I could think of that hasn't sat through one or two presentations on NVIS antennas by now. They're pretty universally constructed, low to the ground, a lot of different configurations, and everybody who makes a presentation is always pumped up. This will work. It'll be great.
Coming April 23rd here in 2016, you've got a contest, but it's not a national contest. You're looking for those outside of Ohio to participate with you and to help do some experimentation with NVIS antennas.
One of my assistant SECs up in the northeast corner of the state called me one day and said, why don't we do something where people can actually build these and find out how they work, what antenna configuration is the best, that kind of thing. So that's what this grew out of. Hap, we had a ball last year. We had a lot of Ohio counties on for the Saturday that we did our NVIS day. We had several teams in counties that were competing against each other. The whole concept was how many stations can you contact and how close can you make it? It was kind of a non-contest contest because we didn't have any score. The purpose of the day is to try these different antenna configurations and see which one works the best for you. Several groups had a number of antennas. Several other groups might have had one antenna that they were trying to experiment with. So that's what we're doing again on the 23rd. We're going to have as many teams as we can trying as many different antenna configurations as they can think up to find out which ones work best. Since Ohio is generally flat, generally the same kind of terrain, we can take a compilation of what happens around the state, narrow it down, let's say, to the top three or four performing antennas, and get an idea of what the best antenna would be for an ARES group to pack in a go box for portable operation or emergency communications. We're changing the program a little bit this year in that we're going to set up about four or five anchor stations. It's great to make as many random contacts as we can, but sometimes that doesn't help you evaluate one antenna against another. So we're going to have anchor stations at different corners of the state and in the center that you can call and say, here's my signal, give them a test, and this operator will be able to give you back a fairly critical signal report. If you then change antennas or modify what you have, raise it, lower it, whatever, then you call the same anchor stations back and say, okay, how does this compare? And they'll give you another equally critical signal report. So you get a much better and much more cohesive look at how your antennas are performing against each other. by the same token, that'll give us a chance to log all of the stations that are trying and kind of compile our state figures that way. We're expanding a little bit this year. Last year was pretty much within Ohio. This year, I've sent out invitations to all of the surrounding states to get involved. I've had inquiries from as far away as Texas. I don't know that that would be considered an NVIS contact from Ohio, but we are asking states around us to have their ARES folks or clubs or whomever get involved. If we had a wide-scale outage, we're going to be communicating not just within Ohio, but it could well be that we needed to communicate from Indianapolis to Columbus to Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, all of the different capitals, all the different EOCs. You can imagine the kind of network that might be necessary. So knowing what your antenna footprint is before it hits the proverbial fan has got to help in having the right array of stuff ready to go when we need to.
Let's talk about the antennas themselves. What characteristics are we talking about? What would your typical basic NVIS antenna look like?
Last year, we had a wide array of antennas, from a vertically oriented Moxon to mostly dipoles. A lot of the guys ran end-fed wires where they just ran a low wire out from the radio. Those, by the way, were not our best performers. Obviously, you need a horizontal-type dipole rather than a vertical because of the angle of radiation of a vertical. It doesn't really lend itself to close-in communications. So everybody was pretty much on board with using a dipole of some type of configuration or other. A lot of the folks were using dipoles that were 5 or 6 feet above the ground. Some of them then ran a reflector, a ground wire, under the dipole on the ground itself to help direct the RF upward. A lot of them used inverted V antennas to give a better rounded 360-degree type coverage. Low-angle inverted Vs seemed to work very well. One of the best antennas that we had in all reports was based on a military configuration of a 2259 antenna, which is nothing more than, let's say, an 80-meter dipole and a 40-meter dipole, the center of which is tied together, so you only use one piece of coax, raised about 15 feet off the ground, not a lot higher than that, and then just stretched out to the ground itself, tied off with a brick or a block or whatever you have. Those seem to be the best performers because they did much better at sending the RF vertical. And since it was a dual band array, we could use it on either 75 or 40, which made it even more valuable for NVIS for that kind of thing.
You're listening to a conversation between ARRL Ohio Section Emergency Coordinator Stan Broadway, N8BHL, and Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP, dealing with NVIS, Near Vertical Incidence Skywave, a useful antenna technology for emergency communications on 80 and 40 meters. For you living in states bordering Ohio, there will be an experiment using NVIS antennas April 23rd. Details coming up in a moment. This is The Rain Report, heard on The Rain website, www.therainreport.com. On Twitter at The Rain Report and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Now, having said all that, I'll tell you also that there wasn't a great deal of difference, which might be kind of disappointing if you're an NVIS fan. I had a district emergency communicator in Zanesville trying out the NVIS configuration, and then he went home and got on his dipole, which happens to be 70 feet in the air, and had an equally good signal into Columbus, which is a fairly short haul. I think the honest answer is whatever antenna you have is better than none. If you have one that's not real high off the ground, it's going to do better than something at 70 or 80 feet. But then again, maybe not.
Well, now, if you do have a dipole that you're using for NVIS and it's up 40, 50 feet, what is it propagationally that is causing that signal from that antenna up 40, 50 feet to only go 50, 100, 150 miles, as opposed to bouncing off the ionosphere and going hundreds of miles.
Well, that's the interesting part about NVIS antennas to begin with. I'm not here's a diagram, here's the RF theory behind it. I'm not that level of expert on antennas. But I know that the ideal antenna, for instance, is a quarter wave above ground. As high as you can possibly get it is usually the answer to where do I put my antenna. The reason for that is that the higher it is above ground here, the lower the angle of radiation is. In other words, your bounce goes out farther. If you lower the elevation of the antenna, if you bring it down closer to the ground, it still radiates horizontally, it still radiates vertically. The dipole radiates 360 degrees around the wire. However, the function of the Earth being close to the radiator actually causes the focus of the RF waves to actually go more vertical. Whereas if I had an antenna at 70 feet, I would expect the bounce to be much further out, distant away from my antenna. When I have it lower to the ground, the bounce can be nearly vertical, which, interestingly enough, is the name of the antenna. That means that your first bounce coming back down is going to be much closer to where the radiating antenna is, and yet it's going to be further away, so it's not going to interfere with the typical ground wave of an antenna.
Let's say if I'm in the middle of an emergency and I'm going to put up an NVIS antenna, but I only want it to go 40 or 50 miles, then at that point I really don't want to put it up very high, do I?
No, the universal guideline is something around 10 to 15 feet. That seems to be the ideal that you shoot for anyway for an NVIS antenna. Much higher than that, and you begin to lengthen out the distance of that first bounce. So typically it's not hard to put one of those up, as luck would have it, for an emergency. All you need is a nice 8-foot or 10-foot pole. Doesn't have to be substantial because we're only talking about wire, and you can stand that up. A lot of the groups that did the 2259 type antenna, where it's a crossed dipole, they use the wires of the antenna to stabilize and hold the upright element in place. So it's real simple to put up. When you're done with it, you have maybe a couple 4-foot sections of conduit and some rolls of wire, and you're ready.
What will the effect be if I run a G8RV wire antenna as opposed to a straightforward dipole?
You would think that there would be some kind of measurable scale that you could compare this all on. And what we found out was it's all good. The G5RV antenna essentially has the same characteristics of a dipole. Wire is a wire. The NFED antenna was the one I was a little surprised at that did not seem to perform as well. However, you have to stop and think. How did he know it didn't perform as well? Well, the contacts that we made with that weren't quite as loud as the others. But the point is, we still made the contacts. We started this, and we're staging this as an ARES event in Ohio, but it's not limited just to ARES stations. We've had a lot of radio clubs and a lot of individuals that just like to play with antennas. And if you think about it, that's one of the most basic, fun, never gets old part of the ham radio hobby, is tinkering with antennas to see what happens when you do this to that. So this kind of fits in, and we universally had good results. Everybody had a good time with it. People have been sending emails all fall going, when are you going to do this again? So I think it was a hit. It certainly gets back to some of the original fun of amateur radio.
Now, this is all on 80 and 40 meters.
Yes. Typically, in Ohio, in the daytime, if there were an emergency, we'd be on 40. But as luck would have it, 40 meters just absolutely crashed. And so we went to 75 as kind of a backup. So it was an interesting combination of events. We also had a really big thunderstorm weather line go through, which made it even more fun for the guys that were out in the field working on their antennas. So it kind of dampened our activities later in the afternoon. But most of the time, it's just a matter of playing with the antennas and having a good time. The computers to design your stuff, that in the real world, they all work.
If someone would like more information, either about NVIS or about the April 23rd Ohio and Beyond contest, where would they write?
The best way to find out NVIS antenna theory in practice is to Google it on the internet. There are a blue zillion NVIS articles on there. I was looking here. There's 398,000 results if you just enter NVIS. So there's something there for everybody. The Ohio ARES NVIS Day is profiled on the ARRL's website, ARRL.org. You can also write to me, N8BHL, November 8, Bravo, Hotel Lima, at ARRL.net. If you're interested, we can start an exchange going that way. N8BHL at ARRL.net.
The thoughts of Stan Broadway, N8BHL, ARRL, Ohio Section Emergency Coordinator. Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Stan about NVIS, Near Vertical Incidence Skywave, and a regional NVIS exercise scheduled for April 23rd in Ohio and surrounding states. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2016. Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for all stations affiliated with the Rain Report, I'm Larry McGlore, KB9DIP, bidding you a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Website, therainreport.com, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and via iTunes.